Today's scripture reading will be from Proverbs 10, verses 1 through 5. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. Treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame.
Well, there you are. I was looking for you. I just want to remind the singing group will be meeting tonight at 6:30 to begin practicing. So for those, just wanted to remind you of that. When I was growing up, my parents really didn't ask me to do a whole lot of work around the house. I mean, I didn't have to pick my clothes up off the floor or make my bed. The only job I was really asked to do was to take out the trash occasionally, and I didn't even do that very well. Maybe that's why they didn't ask me to do a lot. I don't know. But my father was such a worrier that he wouldn't let me cut the grass. He was afraid I'd cut my fingers and toes off with the mower. Plus, I was severely allergic to the grass that he had planted in our yard. I said that can be a blessing. See, so I was kind of given a free pass in regard to work as I was growing up, and I don't know why I told you that, but anyway, my first job ever was at Rack's Roast Beef in Wheeling, West Virginia. After I graduated from high school, I worked there for about a year and a half while I was going to a branch campus of a high university. And then I transferred to OSU the following year, and so I quit that job and came to school and lived out here on campus. And I didn't work during the time I was going to school at OSU. So again, I don't know why I told you that, but anyway. Just about every human being or every family has to work in order to survive. I know you know that. The old proverb, money doesn't grow on trees, is certainly true, so we have to go out and earn it. Now, some people think that, you know, having to work was caused by the fall of man in the Garden of Eden. But if you take a little closer look at Genesis chapter 2, you'll see that prior to the fall, according to verse 15, God put Adam in the garden to work it and keep it. So it appears that work was part of God's plan for man and was not really caused by the sin of man. What the sin of man caused, according to Genesis 3:17, was a significant increase in the degree of difficulty of our work. God told Adam, "Cursed is the ground because of you, in pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life." So God's plan for man was to earn his living. And Paul even expressed this to the Thessalonians when he chastised some of them who were idle. They weren't working. And he reminded them of this command, if you don't work, you don't eat. Paul, however, went on to write in a different letter that working for a living actually has a greater purpose than just so you can eat or to prevent idleness. There are some other reasons why we work to earn a living. And Proverbs teaches that there is a right way and a wrong way to do that. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, God warned Israel to be careful not to forget him when the good times roll, or in other words, and they begin to prosper in this new land that he was giving them. Because they were practically going to prosper immediately, because he told them, you're going to inherit vineyards that you didn't plant, you're going to live in houses that you didn't build, because they were driving a people out of that land. And he said to them in Deuteronomy 8:18, "You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth." So even today, you might actually be doing the physical labor, but it is God who gives you the ability to earn wealth. And even then, really, the wealth isn't really yours, right? The wealth really belongs to God, so we become just managers of His wealth. But Paul, he gave the Ephesians another reason why we earn wealth, why we earn our living. Ephesians 4:28, Paul wrote, "Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands." And then he wrote this, "So that he may have something to share with anyone in need." You know, Duke just talked about this is the season for giving, sharing with those who are in need. That's what Paul encouraged. So he encouraged this thief to stop stealing and to work for your living. But not just to earn his living, but also to be able to help those who are having trouble earning theirs. So work isn't just about earning your living or climbing the success ladder. Work is also about being a help and a blessing to others. But there's an even greater purpose for earning a living than just supporting yourself and helping others. If your priorities are right, God will happily reward you for the work you do. If you have a good work ethic, you're faithful in managing His resources, God will bless you. He will give you more resources. Jesus said in the parable of the talents, Matthew 25:21, "You've been faithful over little, I'm going to set you over much. I'm going to give you more," is what He's saying. The problem with living as we do in such a wealthy country is that you have difficulty being content or satisfied with what God gives you. So you think you need more, you know, something better than what you currently have. You know, if I just had this, or if we could just get this, and it becomes kind of an endless pursuit if you persist in that. When I was studying architecture at OSU, I was so naive. And I actually used to tell people that this is why I went into architecture. If I'm going to have to sit in an office all day, I'd rather be sitting drawing pictures than you know, counting numbers or doing something like that. But when I started working in architecture, my fantasy was shattered. One of the reasons I left architecture was because I was frustrated with the emphasis on money. It took all of the fun out of it for me. Every single decision was driven by money and profits. And, you know, even though I was naive when I entered the workforce, I mean, I understood that a company has to make a profit in order to stay in business. I got that. But when the main focus becomes money, other more important aspects suffer, such as quality and integrity. And I experienced both of those problems in architecture. And it's not just in architecture, okay? You know, we know for politicians, it's all about money. For the government, it's all about money. Money even plays a significant role in the decisions that we make in the church. I often hear some of you say during your comments for the Lord's the collection that it's to support the work of the church. And make no mistake about it, your contributions definitely support the work of the church, but that is not the primary reason for our giving. There was no church when Cain and Abel brought their offerings to God in Genesis. So here is what I'm going to suggest to you is the primary reason we work to earn our living. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine." So I'm going to suggest to you that God, that the primary purpose for giving is to honor God. When you honor God with your wealth, as he says in that proverb, he honors you by giving you more. We did a whole month on generosity back in the spring, and I mentioned then that if you want your barns to overflow, and I know not everybody has a barn, but you know what I'm saying. If you want your barns to overflow, honor God with your wealth by giving generously. As I mentioned last week, you know, money has no morality. It's the attitude toward money that determines morality. Proverbs 10, 2 and 3 teaches, as Max read for us, treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. So if your primary focus is living right, by pursuing righteousness and honoring God with your wealth, you will always, always have plenty of food on your table. You will always be warmly clothed. You will have more than you can possibly need. Jesus taught his disciples, Matthew 6, 25 to 33, God knows what you need. You know, so he's going to make sure you have what you need if, verse 33, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So money is not the most important resource in life. The kingdom of God and righteousness are the most important resources in life. Jesus made that point again in Matthew 16, 26. He said, what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? So as we learned a moment ago, treasures gained by wickedness do not prosper. Now some of you remember the name Bernie Madoff, who made off with a lot of people's money through a Ponzi scheme, where he persuaded investors to invest in a lot of money, and it didn't profit. I mean, he had a lot of money that he was playing with, but it didn't profit. He lost it all because it was it was not right. It was a scheme. And not only that, but his family suffered as a result of that. There was a man in KC who did the same thing, Kansas City is what I meant. He did the same thing. He persuaded 30 people to invest $2.6 million, and it was just a Ponzi scheme. He spent half of it, or more than half of it, on himself. It just doesn't pay. And so why do people get involved in those types of schemes? They want the good life, but they don't want to have to work for it. It's the same reason the people play the lottery. They want the good life, but they don't want to have to work for it. They want it today. They want it now. You say, well, those who won the lottery got the good life. Well, that's true for a few of them. That's true. But if you go online, if you Google some of the lottery winners, you might be surprised to discover that the proverb is true. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. A lot of people who played the lottery and won the lottery, their lives were ruined afterwards. Not wanting to earn your living the right way doesn't always involve cheating. It doesn't always involve trying to game the system or win, you know, the lottery. Proverbs 10:4, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. So living right is not only about honoring God with your wealth, that's the primary reason, and helping others, but it's also about working hard and being conscientious. People who aren't willing to work hard are doing themselves a terrible disservice. Christians who aren't willing to work hard set such a poor example for others. My father, for a number of years, had a job that required him to work 6 days a week. And At the end of that time, somewhere near the end, he became an employer, not just an employee, but employer, responsible for employees. And so when I was about ready to enter the workforce, he gave me some advice. He said, you know, Todd, if your employer wants 8 hours, give him 9. If he wants 9 hours, give him 10. And he wasn't telling me to bilk the company out of overtime pay. That's not what he was telling me. He said, what he was telling me was, don't be one of those workers who continually watches the clock or goes to the coffee machine half the day, you know, and can't wait to get out at 5:01. Instead, go the extra mile. Give your best. Work hard. Earning the living the right way involves having a good work ethic, being willing to work hard. As the saying goes, you know, it's not about how many hours you put in, it's about what you put into the hours. I want to make sure you understand that it isn't your hard work that brings you prosperity. It's hard work that honors God, and He makes you prosper. Please remember that. That'll serve you well as you earn your living, for those of you who are still doing that. You know, God feeds the birds, but He doesn't drop the food right into the nest. They have to go out and hunt for it. So not only does living right involve working hard, being conscientious, but it also involves being honest, being sincere. Paul instructed the slaves in Colossians and in Ephesians to obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with a sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, he says, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. And then he made this last comment, you are serving the Lord Christ. And that's something we all need to remember, that when we do anything, we are serving the Lord. So do it. With sincerity. Do it with honesty. Do it well as you can. And that's really, I think, what my father was really trying to tell me. Work as though you're working for the Lord. You see, it all goes back to honoring God. So if you're living paycheck to paycheck, does that mean you're not living right? Not necessarily. Now, your income is not necessarily a barometer to gauge whether you're living right or not. You know, it has more to do with how you manage your income than the amount of income. But if your rent payment is consistently late because you're spending more than you're earning, you're not living right. If you give nothing to God on Sunday, you're not living right. You're not living smart. You're not honoring God with your wealth. So do yourself and your family a favor. Earn your living the right way. It was God's plan that we earn a living. How you do that will determine whether you're a rich man or a poor man. Proverbs teaches there's a right way and a wrong way to earn a living. If you do it the right way, you'll prosper. If you do it the wrong way, you'll not. I mean, it's as simple as that. Living right involves working hard, being conscientious, being sincere, honoring God with your wealth, and helping others. Earning a living the right way is one of the ways you bring honor to God. And when you think about how much time you spend working, how many opportunities you have to bring honor to God. Your communication card this morning has three next steps you can take. Memorize Proverbs 10:4. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Another step is to read Proverbs 10:1-5 again. You can even call up Max and he'll read it to you if you want. And accept the integrity challenge. Work as though you're working for the Lord. Do all that you do as though you're serving the Lord. So living right is just the wise thing to do. And Proverbs points that out. And it begins. Wisdom begins, as we've said in the past, with the fear of God. and the acknowledgement that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is God's plan to save you and me. And He died on the cross specifically to reconcile you to God because your sins have separated you from God. He's really not only to save you from your sins, but to save you from yourself. So if you reject that, you'll reap what you sow. So my plea to you this morning is to please, please consider the gift. During this time of the year, when we're thinking about gifts, we're reminded of gifts just about everywhere you go. Please remember the gift, the greatest gift ever given. God gave His Son to save you from your sins. And this morning, you have an opportunity to receive that gift and to take that gift with you if you're willing to obey. If you're willing to obey the gospel and submit to Him. As we sing this song that David's going to lead us, you have a chance to respond. You have a chance to receive that gift. Open it and begin to wear it as He gives you His Holy Spirit this morning. So you can respond by coming to the front, going to the back, seeing us afterwards. However, the gift is for you if you'll accept it this morning as we stand and as we sing.
Take my life.